The shadows hold more than darkness. They hold the truth. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
I mean, I think a lot of this just ended up not even being about his office and the what he was doing and being exposed. I think it comes down to being pissed off about the affair being exposed. I think this is a very personal thing, and he was going to try and rely more on business and those sort of things and not go any deeper. He certainly did not like talking about the affair on the stand. And there was a certain, there was a tell of Tellis I noticed in this trial when he talked about the affair and when he talked about the murder. When he said, affair, he kind of like whispered it, like, if I say it quieter, or people aren't going to hear me. Same with when he talked about the murder. He's like, I would not kill him. It became this kind of, it was like, oh, he gives this delivery on things he doesn't want to be caught on, but he knows he is. Like the affair, the murder, it was something that he was portraying that I don't think he even realized he was doing. But
And Hamner in his rebuttal closing pointed that out, like that weird phrasing that he would use. He's like, it's like when I asked him if he killed Garmin, you know, instead of just saying no, I did not kill him, he would say, I would like to think. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't kill him. Like, that's not the same.
No, it's
like, that's not. You're just saying I didn't do it. You know, you're saying I would like to think that I wouldn't kill him. I'm like, that's to think,
or does the other side of you just do it? And you're like, oh, right. I'd like to think I wouldn't do it, but the evil me does.
Man,
my God.
Like, yeah, just an unhinged guy, man. It's like it was just the culmination of everything falling apart for him, you know, because I don't know, in and of itself, like losing the election would have been that big of a deal. I don't imagine the salary for a PA, for a public administrator, is huge. You know what I mean?
But like, it's the like shame.
He's a licensed attorney.
Yeah. It was the shame part of it.
It was the fact that he had outed the affair and then he was still coming at him. Like the fifth article was going to be all about, you know, the affair, exclusively.
I mean, I think, you know, it's Siobhan Scott, a psychotherapist who we have on quite a bit. Yesterday we were talking about this case and I learned a new term about narcissism, narcissistic collapse, where basically they're in a corner. There's no way of talking out of it, which they normally find a way to do even under the most absurd situations. I mean, look, he's trying to talk his way out of this, but there were certain things he couldn't talk his way out of, the affair, and, you know, the wrongdoings in his office. There was just no other way to do it. And he was being held to the fire with no way out. And that's where you get a person lashing. It's like an animal almost. It's a very, you know, archaic way of thinking, where, you know, you can have the loveliest of pets in the world, the most loving, but if you back them into a corner and they feel threatened that they're going to be hurt in some way, they will attack you. I just think him not having the ability to emotionally regulate himself and then finding justification in that because it's everybody else's fault, not him. If you go to the nitty gritty of what's going on in this guy's mind, let's watch one piece of the closing arguments from the prosecution. This is, I just think, one of the most powerful pieces. And this is where at the end of the day, I'm like, was the jury not paying attention? Were those two not paying attention that they missed this piece? Let's take a look at that.
And here's the thing that struck me when I took over this case. I would submit to most people, probably before ever hearing about this case, had no idea what a public administrator was. He is not a U.S. senator. He is not a governor. He is not a congressperson. He is a duly elected official who manages an office of approximately 8 people. And their job is to assist people who pass away, who don't leave a will and leave property behind. The public administrator's office is not at the forefront of everyone's mind in this community. No one learns about this until who brings the office to light? Jeff Gehrman. And what's amazing is if you believe that story about this conspiracy, all of these people and all of these entities were willing to sacrifice their reputation, their business, their police department, even the public administrator's office, they're all willing to put it on the line to kill a reporter to get that guy, even though he's leaving in 3 months? Does that make a shred of sense? Absolutely not. But what it does give you a window into is what's in his mind. That is how important Mr. Tellis views himself. That every single one of these people, every single one of these entities, were literally willing to kill another human being who is not him, just to frame him.
That guy? Why the hell would anybody want to do anything of risk for that guy?
That guy.
That guy. That thing over there that looks like the toy we had as a child that we would put magnets on and make him have hair. That guy.
Yeah, he does. He does look like that guy. I kept calling him. He really, if you pull up a picture of Casper, the friendly ghost, like he's Casper, the murdery ghost. Like there's a couple of Caspers but that dude, he does look, I know exactly what you're talking about. The little red magnet.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
That you would put a little. Yeah. Oh my God.
He's that guy. Scary. He's also Charlie McCarthy. If you put a hat on him in a suit.
Yeah, he is. That's so funny. Yeah, man. I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like Hamner's, I thought rebuttal closing was great.
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of, it's almost like when you're listening to him, you're kind of like sitting in a bar with some dude holding court about, you know,
it was great.
Just like,
yeah.
Like how ridiculous this theory is. You know, it's I really like his style a lot. And he's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like conceptually, all those things have to be true. And it really does shine a light on just how important Lil Bobby Tellis thinks he actually is. Oh my God. You know?
Well, he's walking away going, thank God I bought that wig, because that's the one thing that saved him from a life without the possibility of parole. Doesn't mean
some of my viewers were saying it was one of those, have you seen the hoodies that have the wig on the top, or like the Guy Fieri type hairdo? Some people were like, we think it might have been that, you know, or
it's like, look, the guy basically put on a Halloween costume to go and commit a murder. Why is it beyond the purview of anybody to think he wouldn't put on a wig as well? I mean, that's a bridge too far.
It would almost be insane to think that he didn't.
Yes.
Put on a wig.
It's like, of course he did. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course he did.
Right.
Oh, like I'd love to talk to those jurors, but I'm of a feeling they're coming out of this going, oh, maybe we were off. Maybe. I don't know. Unless they're like Robert Tellis and they're just like, no, what we said is right. I don't know. Right. But
You never know.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.